Welcome to the Other Side of Potential podcast, hosted by Dr. Sharon Spano. Each weekly episode takes a deep dive into how successful family business leaders maneuver the unique dynamics between family and business. How do they align to face complex business challenges? How do they build and project generational wealth? In what ways do they pursue a lasting legacy? Join Sharon as she explores how these leaders adapt and respond to the complexity of life and business in our ever-changing world.
Good morning, listeners, and welcome to The Other Side of Potential. This is Dr. Sharon Spano, and I hope that your new year has started out with just all the hopes and dreams and energy that you were anticipating. This morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about some things that we're going to be covering in a few weeks. And I want to just give you kind of an overview. And I'm going to be taking this information about DEI. Some of you may be familiar with the term. It stands for diversity, equity, and inclusion, directly from an amazing document that the Small Giants community put out earlier at the first part of this year. Now, you may remember that I've interviewed several individuals from the Small Giants community. I'm a big fan of all that they do. And if you don't remember exactly what it is that they do, let me remind you that it is a community that connects thousands of purpose-driven business leaders who prioritize people, culture, and community. And the community stem from the work of Bo Burlingham, the actual book, Small Giants. I recommend that you read it if you have not, because he did some research and then eventually wrote the book, as I said, that spearheaded this community. And it really is about leaders who've decided to be their best in terms of their people and their culture. Not that they're not about making money and obviously having a high ROI, because they most definitely are, but they are doing so from a very different perspective that kind of puts values and, you know, things like ethics first and foremost, and building a culture that is not just about getting big for the sake of getting big. So I've interviewed several from the community, including Rob Dubay twice and Bo himself. And I invite you to go into The Other Side of Potential archives, if you would, to listen to some of those if you want to know more about Small Giants, or you can certainly Google them and look at their website, because it's quite remarkable the kinds of things that they're doing. Now, so they put out this, and I really want to share this with you, because in 2 weeks, we're going to have a guest that's going to get into a greater amount of depth on DEI. But I know that even though we're talking a lot about these things in our businesses, many, many business owners don't have a clue of what it really means and how to start. So I'm going to be giving you an overview to help prepare you for my interview with the guest in a few weeks. And then she has a PhD in this work. She will actually get deeper into what it means and how to apply it. So when we talk about what does it mean for a company to be diverse, equitable, and inclusive, you know, we often think that we're doing a good job if we're doing one or the other, but we may not be doing all three of them, or we may not be doing any of them, or if we are, we may not be doing them well. And so it's a conversation that we can no longer ignore in our society or in our businesses. Very, very important. And we need to be able to think about what it is that we should be doing in terms of these three aspects. So I'm going to start with each one. And again, I'm taking this directly from the Small Giants literature, which I found to be so very, very helpful. And we'll see if we can even get a link from them maybe to share this with some of you. But they talk about diversity that is perhaps the one that is most widely initiated by companies, because we've been talking about it for the longest. So we always think about, do I have a diverse workforce? But what does that really mean? And what it means, and I'm going to quote this directly from an engineering manager, Dalian Moyer. And the quotation is, diversity refers to a level of homo or heterogeneity in a population. Either people look a lot alike, think a lot alike, share similar backgrounds, or there are a wide representation of backgrounds, skin tones, financial privilege, and life experiences. So it refers to the degree to which the spectrum is represented. So if we're diverse, we have a wide range, a different level of demographics that is represented throughout the company. Now, there are many demographics of people that are considered when we think about diversity, and you're aware of most of them. And that is because part of their identity historically has been a root of discrimination, or they've been marginalized. So, you know, I have a very big heart for persons with disabilities. And I worked very hard in my early career when my son, Michael, who was physically impaired, as you've heard me mention before, and wheelchair bound as a result, you know, the discrimination there was very difficult, not only in the school system, but later when he graduated in terms of work opportunities and whatnot. So that is certainly one. Ability or disability, certainly age, ethnicity, gender, language barriers even can present an issue around diversity demographics. Certainly the LGBTQ plus movement, even military status, which I found that to be quite surprising, because I'd like to believe that when our boys come home from having served, that it's easier for them to get a job, but apparently not, because they are part of this category. Certainly political beliefs in these times are causing, you know, people perhaps to be more discriminated against than in prior, race and religion and socioeconomic background. And often that is because they may not have had the advantages or opportunities or skill sets that position them for a, you know, well-known position in a company. So diversity often are things that we can see right up front, but not always, because when you get into belief systems, obviously, of course, those are things that can cause someone to be marginalized even after they're hired. So we talk about diversity in a variety of ways. And one of the things that that then leads to is a conversation around equity. And Small Giants talks about equity as being a bit tougher to really nail down, because often in our companies, or even in our lives, we think if I'm open to diversity in whatever environment or system I'm in, then equity exists within that. And that is not absolutely 100% accurate. So they define equity as the recognition of systemic barriers and a conscious effort to level out those disadvantages. And this takes the form of resources by support, mentorship, education, conversations, and even in some cases, financial investment. And I love this example that they're offering, because they give the example of even the construct of how we spend money. So there's a need here to deconstruct, if you will. And I know many of you have issues around the whole idea of rewriting history. I'm not talking about that here so much as I'm talking about acknowledging history, because it is what it is. We know that people were marginalized and that there were historical deficits and lack of opportunity and things of that nature that did not support people in moving forward. So the example that Small Giants offers that I like so much is around the construct of how we spend money, because it can also be attributed to equity and the distribution of wealth. For example, a business leader who may have a supplier in a white-owned company, and that white-owned company may be actually cheaper than a black-owned company counterpart, but that's only because the white-owned company has benefited from more generational wealth, which then plays into more opportunities to increase their volume and revenue, according to Small Giants. And so a decision for a business owner such as yourself to support a Black-owned supplier who may not be as cheap for the business leader at the outset, but maybe around in the long term might help really increase some level of equity in the larger playing field. Those are the kinds of decisions when we look at our culture and our company through the lens of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Those are the conversations that should be eventually and hopefully sooner than later occurring within your company. So this Daylene Moyer defines equity, or states it further, as often being confused with equality, but refers to structures, and that's an important word, that do or do not support those members of a diverse population that have historically not been on the benefiting end of historical structures. So rather than make them wrong and decide that they don't deserve or are not skilled enough or worthy enough of being, you know, a part of our company structure, we would look at how can we rethink, you know, our systems and processes and our interactions with such opportunities, such that we create another level of equity. And another quote I want to offer you that I love, I've never done this where I'm actually looking at another resource to have a conversation with you, but I thought this was so well done that I just wanted to get the year started off with your thinking along these lines. Another quote by Toby Ekbuna, who's the co-founder of CEO Chezzy. He's the co-founder, I should say, and CEO of Chezzy. Equity means that you are being intentional about creating space. Very, very important. So we're changing structures so that we can create space for people who have historically been marginalized. And often that means overcompensating for specific groups, because if you try to treat everyone the same, the group that was initially ahead will stay ahead. And I know when I was involved in the disability arena, we used to talk about it in very specific ways of, you know, creating a least restrictive environment. So in other words, if we were trying to get employment for someone in a wheelchair, that meant there we had to literally create space for that individual to get into the company. There would be have to be a lot of physical accommodations. Obviously, they have to have a skill set to be able to do the job, but we wouldn't promote just denying them the opportunity because they're in a wheelchair. We would look at really creative ways that we could redefine our systems, policies, and structures and physical space to accommodate them so that they could be a part of the team. Then the third one is inclusivity. And again, these are very specific and unique to one another, but they come together in ways that are very important for us to be thinking about in our businesses. And if you're one of those individuals, particularly an entrepreneur, a smaller family business owner, who thinks things are going to change and go back to the way they were, you are very sadly mistaken. And that's why I'm bringing this up. And that's why I'm bringing on an expert to talk about this, because the global society in today's world is made up of Asians, indigenous cultures, Latins, and the Black community. And that is just the reality of our world, whether we like it or not. And I know some of you do not. That is the reality of our world. And that is why these issues are rising up today with louder and louder voices. And you've heard me say this many, many times. Whatever is repressed or oppressed in a system, whether it be a business system, a family system, a society, will get louder and louder. And that is the movement that we are in right now as people who have been marginalized and overlooked and oppressed for generations now are rising up and saying no more. And that includes women and the LGBT community specifically. So inclusivity then, according to Daley Moyer, refers to the degree to which a culture embraces or welcomes those of differing privilege levels or backgrounds. So it really has more to do with, just as the word implies, including them and making them feel welcome. So in the example I gave of hiring someone with a disability, for instance, it wouldn't be enough to just hire them and create all of the accommodations that I just stated if they are not sitting at the table and involved and being heard and being a part of whatever is going on within the company culture. So it is the culmination of diversity and equity and inclusion that really tells you as a company, we are doing things well. It means that you are seeing diversity as a benefit, not a have to, not a problem to solve, but actually it is a benefit that your company offers. An inclusive workplace is one where all employees, according to Small Giants, feel that they can be their best, most creative and innovative selves. And it's a space where everyone feels heard. As I said, it feels like they're at the table, feels that what they bring to the table is valued as equally as the person sitting next to them. And I want to stop for just a moment to say this applies to religious nonprofits such as churches, because we know that in many church environments, there is a hierarchy, an antiquated hierarchy, if I might be so bold, that pretty much involves women for the skill sets that they might have, administrative or otherwise, but does not necessarily give them a seat at the table. They're not on the elder boards, or they're not on the leadership executive committee and things of that nature. So that I'm very sensitive to, because I know many women in the Christian community have experienced that, including myself. So that is a very important piece. Is diversity then says, oh, we have women in leadership in our culture, but it does not necessarily mean that they are included in the larger conversations or that they have a voice. And that could be true for any marginalized group. Now, then, why is this diversity, equity, and inclusion so important? Well, if we want to take it to the bottom line, it's to me a humanitarian issue, because what we need to know is that when we treat people as we would like to be treated, that old golden rule, a lot of incredible, amazing things happen around collaboration and cohesiveness and people having less stress and having better, more meaningful work and therefore better, more meaningful lives. But those are all the things that I love to talk about. But actually, there is data-driven proof that more diverse, equitable, and inclusive companies are more productive and successful. And Small Giants points to a report and study done by Deloitte. And their case for an inclusive culture is very well founded. And I'm just going to give you some of the numbers around that, stating that companies who have DEI in place are 2 times more likely to meet or exceed financial targets. So there's a win for you right off. They're 3 times more likely to be high-performing companies. They're 6 times more likely to be innovative and agile. And that should be no surprise, because you have more diverse mindsets coming together rather than the same old think tank, which I would suggest to you is a big part of what's going on with our government, is the same old people on Capitol Hill for far too long. And we cannot then get to innovative and agile approaches to things. But in your company, you have the potential to make that happen with DEI in place. And such cultures are 8 times more likely to achieve better business outcomes overall. So there are many, many reasons that we need to lean into this. And I would encourage you not to get caught up in, oh, it's going to cost too much money or time and effort. We can't make that happen, because it really is a mindset initially, a place to come from, not a place to get to. And again, when I have my magic, wonderful, amazing guest on in a few weeks, we're going to get into the how. But another study that I want to just point to, because I'm already referred to my passion for women and certainly people with disabilities in this context, is a study led by Accenture that Small Giants points to as well, which is the American Association of People with Disabilities and Disability. And it showed that companies that had a more inclusive working environment for employees with disabilities achieved an average of 28% higher revenue. And I can tell you from my own personal experience why that would be, is people with disabilities are so grateful to work that they will give you all they've got. 30% greater profit margins and twice the net income of competitors in their industries. And I love that we have moved to this place after, you know, in my world, so many, many years of fighting for people with disabilities to be gainfully employed. Because it shows you the potential of what can happen when you include someone from a marginalized community, and that they will, again, give you their all. So there are many, many other reasons why DEI is important, but let's just talk about how to actively engage in it. And I'll kind of set the framework again that might help you prepare for the interview that I'm going to be doing in 2 weeks. And one is to look at your company objectively. That is very difficult, I think, for visionaries and some of you out there who are more entrepreneurial in spirit, because you've built this business, you've built this company, and you've made it work thus far. But we have to accept that the world has changed. And I'm reading a wonderful book right now that I'll perhaps talk about with you later. But what it's really impressing upon me is what we constantly refer to as rapid change. But when you read it and really look at the literature review and the studies out there, it's far faster than even you're experiencing. So the point is to look at your company objectively, start to collect data on What does diversity really look like in your company? And are you doing it in a way that makes sense? And you always, always hear me talk about systems. So according to Jess Osro, the co-founder and CEO of The Rise Journey, every single person within the culture that he's talking about, which is, I'm assuming, his own company, is part of a system. And you hear me say that all the time. And if you're leading a company or an organization, you have the ability, according to Mr. Osro, to create your own system and systemic change within that. So again, this is happening at a global level, but we have the potential to control it within our own lives and within our own businesses. And that's really what I'm wanting you to consider. Look at your company objectively, self-reflect on where you as a leader, you know, what have you done? What could you do more, better, differently to include people with different backgrounds from those that you already have in your own company? Second, Small Giants recommends to be open and vulnerable with your team about the topic. So these are conversations that are hard to step into sometimes. And it doesn't matter if you already have a diverse culture or not. It's awkward sometimes, depending on the makeup of your company. But it's important, once you've done the reflective piece on yourself and you have a sense of where you are, maybe gathered some data, the next step is to really sit down with your team, your leadership team first, and then talk about what you need to do to continue this conversation. Small Giant recommends that you consider what would best serve your team to have a potentially tough conversation. What would the structure look like for everyone to have an open forum to speak, present metrics around the subject, or bring in an outside facilitator if you need to help you explore the possibilities and the changes that need to happen within the system, within your policies and processes and your hiring mechanisms and all of those things. Next, they recommend that you commit to a strategy. And always, you know, we do the reflection, we talk with our team. These are things that we do in every other area of our business. So why not with respect to DEI? And that means that you're looking thoughtfully at your vision, your values, what is already in place, and what you need to do more and more differently in order to affect a diverse, equitable, and inclusive culture. Finally, you want to have a plan. You need to have a diversity plan. I think these things are happening at far greater levels, you know, the bigger companies, because for them, it becomes a legal matter. But again, for those of you that might be smaller business owners or mid-size, we often are so caught up in the day-to-day that we don't think about these kinds of things in very strategic ways. You must, once you form the strategy, you must have a plan so that you can inoculate it into the culture. Very important. It can't just be an activity that's done once and stuck on a shelf. Everyone needs to know, this is how we do business. This is who we are. This is what it looks like. And then finally, develop methods for providing tools to the people who have been underrepresented. And that's not always easy. And there might be many, many different methods that need to go into place once you've done, you know, the groundwork of looking at your metrics, having conversations with your team. You start to see, where are there gaps in the system? And one example might be creating a platform for conflict resolution, feedback, and celebration. Those are areas that I'm always talking about with my clients. So I was very glad to see Small Giants bring that to the forefront as well, so that people start to really think about these things. And then at the very end of it, you're measuring and monitoring your progress. So we start with self-reflection at the leadership level. We then look at metrics and objectively identify where the gaps are, as I said. Then we develop a strategy and a plan, and then you have to make space to fill those gaps and provide the supports to those who might need them. And then eventually, or ongoing, I should say, you're measuring and monitoring your progress so that you know what needs to be more, better, differently in the future. It's a hard conversation, but it is something that must happen within your businesses. So I look forward to you having the opportunity in 2 weeks to hear from an expert in this area. I again just wanted to lay the framework. And then one final quote that I really loved, and I really want to impress this on you, because I used to say something similar when I did leadership development. in companies. People want to make it a big complex thing. And oh my gosh, we don't have leaders. And, you know, no matter what we do, but leadership, just like DEI, is a place to come from, not a place to get to. It is an ongoing process that begins with changing our perspective. And Monica Eshaker, if I'm pronouncing her name correctly, states, it doesn't have to be this big, complicated thing. It comes down to treating everybody as equally as possible and leading with curiosity. And I love that notion of curiosity, because it's something that I've worked very hard to develop within myself. And I have found that it has given me a great amount of freedom and really helped me step into a second person perspective. And I know you've heard me talk about that a lot. First person perspective is everything is about my worldview. When we learn to develop a second person perspective, which is essentially putting myself in the shoes of others, and the way we get there is by curiosity, everything shifts because I now see the system and the people in it from an entirely new lens. And that allows us to be more empathetic and compassionate, as well as to build a more cohesive, collaborative team, and therefore create greater results and a higher ROI. So a lot said there. I invite you to be prepared in 2 weeks for a deeper conversation on this with real life application beyond the kind of framework that I've shared with you that came from Small Giants. And I hope that this is useful and will get you thinking. I'd love any feedback or comments that you might have around this based on what is working for you now or where you feel some of your gaps are. We want to open the discussion. So you can always reach out to me and let me know via the show, or you can always reach out to me via email, Sharon@SharonSpano.com. I look forward to hearing that. And as always, listeners, I remind you that no matter the challenges in your business or in your life, no matter how big, no matter how small, and I'm hearing from many of you, you know, the world right now still seems somewhat confusing, complex, and overwhelming. And I'm not sure that's going to change anytime soon. Actually, I'm sure that it is not. So we want to keep these conversations going so that we can support one another in business growth and sustainability and in creating healthy relationships within the context of both of those aspects of our lives. I want to thank you for listening. And if you found the content valuable, which I hope you did, here are four ways that I want to remind you once again that will help you strengthen relationships that support all that you're doing in business and in life. One is, I, of course, invite you to order a copy of my book, The Pursuit of Time and Money. Two, I invite you to join my new Facebook group, The Alchemy of Humans, where we're looking at a deep dive into what it means to be human in our ever complex world. And I'll be doing monthly teachings on there as well. You can always schedule a free discovery call with me at go.oncehub.com/meetwithSharonSpano. And then finally, if you enjoyed this conversation or you've been listening to the podcast for a while, I would really love for you and encourage you to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes so that we can access more listeners and guests and bring those lessons back to you here on the show, as I always say. So until next time, this is Dr. Sharon Spano reminding you to live your very best life. Hope your New Year's starting out great, and I'll see you in a few weeks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Other Side of Potential podcast. Please leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform so we can continue helping family businesses thrive. For more information on how Dr. Spano can help you in your own family business, visit SharonSpano.com to schedule a complimentary consultation.